The veil. Why? One would assume that the unexpected return of the veil would have been prompted by the older women who faithfully wore the veil back in the 50s and 60s. Not so. Ironically, the veil is being donned by young women who have seen the disastrous effect of radical feminism and are trying to return to some form of tradition and reverence. Some are wearing the veil to express submission. Others may be wearing the veil to show a sign of reverence in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. To be sure, the veil creates a distinct look of femininity that is reserved only for the house of God. There may be many more reasons behind the wearing of the veil, but one thing is to be sure. Behind it all is the individual effort to offer a truly feminine spirituality to God, whom they are trying to serve and honor in a more perfect way. The veil. In the question and answer section of a popular Catholic magazine, a woman asked the question, "Why is it that women are starting to wear the veil again?" Maybe she thought that Rome had changed its teaching and wanted women to return to the wearing of the veil. This pamphlet is intended to address the subject of the veil as it relates to church teaching, Holy Scripture, and sacred tradition. We hope it will shed light on how something that in itself may seem insignificant, having no great importance in relation to the gospel message, when misunderstood, like a pulled thread on a sweater, can unravel the whole garment. The question may be asked, when and why did the church change its teaching that a woman should wear a head covering while attending church services? Answer. The church has never changed its teaching. There is nothing by the magisterium stating that the wearing of the veil has been abolished. You may gasp and say to yourself, "I'm sure this cannot be true. Why, no one, except a few dinosaurs who cannot tolerate change, wears veils today. In fact, we were even told that to wear the veil would be prideful, and that we would be calling attention to ourselves." Using this logic, one would be obliged to become a nudist if nudity became popular. And what about the first women to take the veil off? Did they not defy church teaching with the express purpose to call attention to themselves? See how such statements sound silly when held up to logic? Who would ever have thought that one could commit the sin of pride by trying to be faithful to what the church has taught for almost 2,000 years? You might also be one of the myriads of women who have been told that the veil was an old Jewish custom, which was a symbol of woman's oppression, coming from a people that treated women much like cattle. This statement was touted from the pulpit of a Catholic church at a wedding ceremony. The readings, which the couple had picked, dealt with the wife's submission to her husband. The couple liked the reading, but the priest did not. Then there was a little crippled lady who said that she stopped wearing the veil years ago after a priest told her that she was already sick and the veil made her look sicker. What happened to tolerance, diversity, and Christian charity? I share with this little lady a few facts concerning the veil, and she happily returned to wearing her veil, and she looks just fine. Then there was the priest who said that women who wear the veil are women who are just trying to act holier than thou. My response would have been, "Is that not better than worldlier than thou, or sexier than thou? Is there any wonder that so many souls have abandoned the veil, and also the church?" Church teachings. As stated before, the church has never changed its teaching concerning women wearing the veil. The nearest anyone could come to this claim is that it was not mentioned in the new Code of Canon Law, published in 1983. Those who use this mode of reasoning say that good Catholics are no longer obliged to wear the veil because of this fact. Those who are familiar with canon law know that it did not, in any way, say that women should not wear a veil. Yet, just for argument's sake, let us say the new canon would have stated that women should no longer wear a veil, which, of course, it did not. We would still have the period from approximately 1969 to 1983, when women throughout the United States were already abandoning the veil in direct violation of canon law. So it is clear that church law cannot be called upon to justify the abandonment of the veil, since it had already been abandoned by many as early as 1968, some 15 years prior to the publication of the new code. This is why it would be deceitful to justify their disobedience by using the law. Admittedly, the vast majority of women were told that Vatican II initiated the change. Please read the documents to find it. It is not there. And since they, like most Catholics, depended on the clergy to educate, they were badly misdirected. In 1973, a local Catholic paper reported that the ladies could throw away their hankies. The word hanky was used to mock the wearing of the veil as insignificant. The article was referring to a document from Rome stating that the veil was of minor importance. They conveniently failed to mention what prompted this remark. It was in response to liberals petitioning Rome to allow the ordination of women. Their argument was basically this. Since the church allowed women to break canon law, scripture, and tradition in the matter of the veil, then why not break the teaching of the church concerning the ordination of women? This is the normal consequence of unchecked disobedience. It is never satisfied. And as you can see, the statement from Rome concerning the veil was quite appropriate. The veil is of little importance when compared with the ordination of women. It is quite easy for a woman to rebelliously walk into a church without a veil, but she cannot rebelliously ordain herself. Such women will defy any law if it gets in the way of what they want. Misinformation and twisted truths were not targeted to the veil alone. They were responsible in large part the collapse of mass attendance and belief in the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Mass attendance has plummeted from 70% at the time of the council to 25% today. No business could endure such a loss and survive. Only the church, founded by Christ, can endure it, but not without causing great suffering to the brothers and sisters of our Lord. It seems as though these twisters of the truth are hell-bent on continuing their diabolical deception of the facts. It is only a piece of cloth. We were led to believe the matter of the veil was an insignificant relic of the past. You may have been told that it's only a piece of cloth. A statement such as this is hard for a theologian, much less the average Catholic, to deal with. So let's take a deep breath and I will demonstrate how one can logically respond to such subtle statements. Visualize a mother and father who have just lost a son in battle, a son who gave his life to the defense of his country. These parents come upon a young man spitting on and burning the flag of the United States of America. How do you suppose his good people would react? Is it possible that they would be tremendously upset? Could you see how they would be upset? Even without losing a son, those who love their country would most likely be moved to anger. Then imagine the young man looking up, seeing their frustration and saying, "What's the problem? It's only a piece of cloth." The young man would be accurate in saying that it is only a piece of cloth, but his statement would not be completely honest. The flag is being spat upon and burned for what it represents, not for what it is made of. Now, a person who neither loves nor hates his country might be indifferent to the situation, but for those who have chosen sides on the subject, there can be no indifference. Now let us move from the cloth flag to the cloth veil. The feminists hate the veil, not because it is a piece of cloth, but rather for what it represents, that being submission. I hope you have already read the pamphlet on submission. If not, do so. The hostility feminists have toward the God-established order in the home is manifested in their hatred of the veil, just as a young man's hatred of his country is manifested in his hatred for the flag. Unknown to the vast majority of people is the fact that the feminists had their own public veil burning. More on page 13. To understand the significance of all this, one must realize there are three groups that exist in most debates, with the veil, as with the flag, feelings run deep. We have those who hate the godly order of the home, those who do not really care, possibly due to ignorance, and those who know and understand why this godly order is so important. The latter are in the minority, yet with proper education and the desire to follow God's holy will, the home can be reordered, but not without a fight from those who have united themselves to this evil and materialistic world. Facts to be considered. In the new Code of Canon Law, Canon 21, we read, "In doubt, the revocation of a previous law is not presumed. Rather, later laws are to be related to earlier ones, as far as possible, harmonized with them." My dear reader, if the law concerning the veil had been revoked, which it was not, you would still have to harmonize with the later, which was to wear the veil. Then from Canon 27 we read, "Custom is the best interpreter of the law." The veil has 2,000 years of being accustomed to its credit. The rosary does not come close to that, yet who would try to discourage people from saying the rosary? Nor was the rosary ever in canon law, or in the Bible. The misinformation concerning the veil is a sinister flight from the truth, submission, that is hated by some today, as much, if not more, than the hatred some have toward the flag. I would now like to share with you a few events that took place over the past 30 years to illustrate that this whole manner of the demeaning of the veil was a plot orchestrated by those who were determined to destroy the family. Many in the church were unaware of what was happening, and it remains the same today. Like many fathers in the home, many fathers in the church do not see things happening until it hits them in the face. Even then, they are still not sure what happened. Married women are well aware of what I mean. When the shepherds are preoccupied and are not vigilant, the wolves are there to take advantage of the situation. Bishop Maurice Schechtschneider, a holy bishop in the Lafayette Diocese, back in the 70s, when referring to the veil, picked up the Bible and read from 1 Corinthians 11. He said, "Now, this is the word of God. The church cannot change it." Was Bishop Schechtschneider correct or not? He later wrote to us and stated that he could assure us that the church had never changed his teaching about the veil. His predecessor, when asked, "Is it a sin if a woman disobeys the church's teaching by not wearing a veil?" replied, "It would be a sin if she knew what she was doing." One could assume that the way to keep the people from sinning is to keep them in ignorance. Few today are teaching. Most are just explaining things away as non-essentials. Now, non-essential has become a popular word today. When you hear it, please ask the user, just what is essential? You see, when we regulate everything to the status of non-essential, why should we belong to a particular church? We are all aware that one can go to heaven in any of the 20-odd thousand different denominations, so one can conclude that the Catholic Church has become a non-essential. I have said on many occasions, what is happening in the church is the same thing that is happening in the home. By and large, the father in the home has degenerated into a silly, fun-seeking, uncommitted dodger of responsibility. He has no vision of what a healthy family should be, and is frankly not interested in finding out. I want to hasten to mention that not all fathers in the family, nor all in the church, fall into this group, but many do. And here lies our problem. Rejection of the veil is just an exterior manifestation of an inner problem. Intelligent people know that truly successful people are those who do things that unsuccessful think is not necessary, non-essential. One could avoid breaking any doctrine of the church and still destroy his marriage. Catholics who have good marriages go far beyond the letter of the law. They go into the spirit of the law and are actually freed from the law, for they have risen above the law. This is what liberation truly is, rising above the law, not getting permission to break the law through unrelenting disobedience. Father John A. Hardin, S.J., was a very holy man, as well as an extremely intelligent theologian. He was a consultant to the Holy See for more than 31 years. Among the more than 30 books he published was The Catholic Catechism, somewhere in the middle 90s. I phoned Father Hardin. I asked him if women should still be wearing the veil. His answer was an emphatic yes. Could Father Hardin also be wrong? Here is a quote from a bishop that most everyone will surely know, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. From his book, Three to Get Married, we read, "St. Paul speaks of Christ as the invisible head of the family, and it is because the head to which a wife is united is her husband." 1 Corinthians 11:3. It is very likely that a divine prohibition against women appearing in church with their heads uncovered is related to this idea. Did the good bishop say divine prohibition? Wow! Now when we turn to the front of the book, we read, Neil Obstadt, John M. A. Ferns, STD, Imprimatur, Francis Cardinal Spellman. The Neil Obstadt and Imprimatur are a declaration that a work is free from doctrinal or moral error. Wow, wow, wow! Could Bishop Sheen be wrong also? And what about the Imprimatur of Cardinal Spellman? Is the cardinal wrong also? Well, these are people who are highly regarded that say the veil is to be worn. Try finding credible people like these to tell you that the law has been changed and have them reveal the source of their information. Ask yourself this question. If the Pope wanted the veil dropped, why is it that all of our presidents who have visited the Holy Father in Rome were instructed to have their wives and daughters wear a veil? Be sure to keep in mind that except for Kennedy, they were all Protestants. To further validate my point was the article in a popular women's magazine which told of a lady's dilemma with that horrible veil. This lady, the head of one of the feminist organizations, was telling of her papal visit with the then reigning pontiff, Pope Paul VI. She was told that she would have to wear a veil and a dress at her papal visit. She related that she had no problem with the dress, but she did have a problem with wearing the veil. She proceeded to explain how she and a friend combined a comb with a veil on top, structured in such a way that the veil would not touch her head. Unlike our good Catholic women, this feminist leader was well aware of the meaning behind the veil. Words. One thing the liberals are really good at is the use of words for the promotion of their own destructive agenda. For instance, when they break the teachings of the church, they use the word diversity. When a faithful Catholic does something completely within the teachings of the church, which the liberals do not like, they use words like divisive and non-essential. More on non-essentials in a future pamphlet. Only you will decide to whom you will listen. The fruits of your choices will manifest themselves in the quality of your life and that of your family. We generally get what we deserve. A good choice, a good result. A bad choice, bad results. Now let us bring this subject to a climactic closure. We have demonstrated that though few in the church defended the wearing of the veil, it is clear that it was disobedience that ruled the day and trashed it. It has been demonstrated that neither the church nor the Pope ever said that women should abandon the veil. So this being the case, from whom are our Catholic women getting their marching orders? Or another way of putting it is, who is most influencing our Catholic women? The answer can be found in the National Organization of Women Handbook. Please read carefully the following quotes taken from the NOW Handbook. It has some very interesting information that you truly need to know and seriously ponder. We read under A. Religion Resolutions. Because the wearing of a head covering by women at religious services is a symbol of subjection within many churches, NOW recommends that all chapters undertake an effort to have all women participate in a national unveiling by sending their head covering to the task force chairman. At the spring meeting of the Task Force of Women and Religion, these veils will be publicly burned to protest the second-class status of women in all churches. December 1968. Well, one must concede these feminists were extremely successful in getting Catholic women to not only break canon law, but to go directly against Holy Scriptures. These feminists were truly courageous, and their efforts have paid off, sad to say, to their own detriment, and that of all the women of America. Let's continue. Take the lead in uniting women of all denominations and religious groups to work together and support efforts to recognize the right of women to be ordained in religious bodies where that right is still denied. As previously mentioned, stopping a woman from rebelliously walking into a church without a veil is impossible. Ordination is much more difficult a hurdle for them to jump. 30 years have passed and they are still fighting, while our clergy, for the most part, have hoisted the white flag. And last but not least, we have this quote. NOW will challenge the tax-exempt status of the Catholic Church since it is lobbying against the abortion law repeal. April 1971. As stated before, these nice little ladies had their own flag veil burning. Did you notice the attitude they held regarding our Catholic Church? Could you possibly be one of their misinformed followers? Why would any Catholic want to adopt a practice that was promulgated by such people? Finding a logical explanation to justify it would be quite hard. A book I would strongly encourage anyone to read is Slouching Toward Gomorrah by Judge Robert Bork. Under radical feminism, we read, even the language of the movement mirrors the mood of fascism. The apocalyptic and hate-filled rhetoric of radical feminists expresses their eagerness to inflict harm. A radical magazine using the acronym for the National Organization for Women, NOW, declared on its cover, now is the time to take back control of our lives. Now is not the time to assimilate to a bureaucratic puppeteers who want to control, degrade, torture, kill, and rape our bodies. Now is the time to drop a boot heel in the groin of patriarchy. Now is the time to fight back. No God, no master, no laws. Were you aware of this? Do you think our good Catholic women would have abandoned their veils had they been made aware of it? I think not. The Jerome Biblical Commentary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul admonishes the women concerning the veil. The following is from the Jerome Biblical Commentary explaining why St. Paul wrote that letter. Some Christian women, influenced perhaps by the liberal atmosphere of cosmopolitan Corinth and emboldened by the attitude of the knowledgeable toward their freedom, were attending the assemblies without the wearing of a veil. Paul reprobates this behavior as unbecoming to a woman, because God has established a hierarchy in both the natural and the religious spheres in which the female is subordained to the male sex. this hierarchical subordination of the woman should be recognized in her behavior and dress. The veil is a symbol of this subordination. This took place 2,000 years ago and possibly many times since. We are definitely sure it started taking place again in 1968. We just did not have a St. Paul around to sound the alarm. Well, there it is, ladies. The ball is in your hands. You have been presented with just a few of the facts behind the abandonment of the veil, and we did not even touch on the respect aspect, which in itself would be a wonderful reason for a woman to wear the veil. This is only a pamphlet. It would take a book to cover all that could be said concerning the veil and its detractors. Questions to ponder. Why did St. Paul say women should be veiled if it were not important? Why did the church have the tradition of wearing the veil for nearly 2,000 years if it were not important? Why did the church mandate it in canon law if it were not important? Could the church be truly holy and wise and yet mandate something for 2,000 years that would be a sign of oppression to women? Do you truly believe that the church was wrong for 2,000 years and it just in the past few years became wise? If we are wiser and more knowledgeable today, why is it that in 1870 there were only 81 divorces per 100,000 married population, and today more than half of all marriages end in divorce? And finally, to the reader who disagrees with all of this, have you been reading Lives of the Saints? If not, read a few and then reread this pamphlet. I believe you might see things quite differently.